gives him a present which he accepts becomes guilty of a serious type of usury. Okay, shafa'a, intercede. You go before the ruler, the emir, or the chief of the tribe, and you ask him, forgive this man, or give him his property back, or whatever it is, that you try to intercede, not for breaking the orders of Allah, but you try to go to somebody who is in a higher authority, asking him to be kind to this man, or to be good to him, or not to punish him unjustly, or whatever it is. This is your job as a Muslim towards your Muslim brother. And you are not supposed to do this except for the sake of Allah. If you did this, and your Muslim brother went and got you a gift, and you receive it or you accept it, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling you, indeed you had dealt with usury, with interest. The scholars explain this hadith in two forms. One is that you go to the chief of the tribe or the person in authority, and you intercede for your Muslim brother in something which is his right, and he lost it. Okay? And the governor was supposed to give it to him back, but being as a unjust ruler or whatever his situation, not judging by the book of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now as a result of this, you go and you try to intercede and get the right of your Muslim brother back, and as a result of this, he give it back. Okay? He said if a person did a gift as a result of this, this is okay, but you shouldn't be looking up to get this. But if you go to the ruler and you try to intercede to get something to your Muslim brother which is not his right originally, and he gives you something as a reward for this, now you're involved in the usury. I.e. like, now I sold this commodity and I know that is not good. I sold this car $10,000 and I know there's no transmission in it, okay, and they sold it as a car, is good. And now when the person bought it, okay, crank it, the car is not working. Okay, so now he will go and complain about me to the judge. Okay, so I go to the judge because he's my cousin, or that I know him, or whatever it is, and intercede for this man and telling him, forget about it. Okay, tell him that he bought it and this it's too late. Okay, so now I was trying to get you something which is not your right. Now this is wrong. As a result of this, now you're going to go and get me a gift. Okay, because I talked to the judge, I let it slide. So now I'm indulging with usury. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, maybe this will explain also something similar to this and explain it more, that Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhuma qal, la'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam al-Rashi wal-Murtashi. Rawahu Abu Dawood wa Tirmidhi wa sahahu, and the hadith is sahih. That from Amr ibn al-As, Allah be pleased with him, as well as his father, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had cursed the one who bribes and the one who takes the bribes. Okay? Give him $100, like you call it, under the table. Alright? So he can get you this job. Everybody have to go and fill application. Everybody have to stand in a line. But you go and understand and you give your application, and inside the application is $100. Okay? So now he takes the application, sign it, and say everybody come tomorrow. But he called you in your house, he said you got the job. He didn't get the job because he stood in the line, because he gave application, but because the $100 was inside the application. Okay? Now, you as a giver of this, as well as the receiver, both of them are cursed by the messenger of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this is haram, is not supposed to be done. Although that the scholars said, if a Muslim lost something which lawfully is his and he could not get it except by doing this act, bribe the person, he can do it and he has no sin in it, and the sin will be on the receiver. I lost a property. It is my property, okay? And the only way for me to get this property, that I will go and give this judge some money. Okay? Now he will rule in my favor that the city was not supposed to take this property, or that the city is supposed to pay you back. And if you don't give this money from under the table, you are not getting your property back.
It's like paying a rent.
Huh? Ransom. So in this case, okay, you're trying only to save your rights. You try to get your rights. My family in other country, and for me to get a visa, I have to put this money. You see? So I have no choice. Otherwise, I'm never going to get to see my family. So now the wrong will be on the person who's receiving it. Not the person who is giving it.
Yeah.
And inshallah, it's okay. We're going to stop here inshallah, and we'll continue concerning usury and other things in business transaction next week inshallah at 7 o'clock. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله خير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him, and I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is his sunnah, the works of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Inshallah, here today, which is Tuesday, May 18, 1999, which is equivalent to the third of the second month Safar for the year 1420 after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we're recording here from Masjid al-Muslimin, Islamic Center of Columbia, South Carolina. And today, inshallah, this is our eighth class in the fourth album for the explanation of Bulugh al-Maram, the attainment of the objective. We had completed three albums and we working on the fourth album of the explanation of Bulugh al-Maram. And this is the eighth tape for this series, which we're still talking about Kitab al-Biyu', the book of business and transaction. We're still dealing with the chapter related to usury or interest. And last class, we had finished up to hadith number 707. And today, inshallah, we're continuing from where we stopped last week. And in the book Bulugh al-Maram, page number 295, and the hadith number 708, وعنه رضي الله تعالى عنه أي عن عبد الله ابن عمر ابن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمره أن يجهز جيشا فنفدت الإبل فأمره أن يأخذ على قلائص الصدقة. قال فكنت آخذ البعير بالبعيرين إلى إبل الصدقة. رواه الحاكم والبيهقي ورجاله ثقات. This hadith, which reported by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Hakim and al-Bayhaqi, the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 708, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had ordered Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As to prepare a army, and as a result of this, that was not enough camels for preparation of the army, which is the camels they use it for means of transportation, carrying their goods, and even fighting while they mount over them. And was nothing left for him to prepare the army, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had commanded him or instructed him to keep back the young camels for sadaqah. And he said, I was taking a camel to be replaced by two when the camels of sadaqah came. So this shows us that this was exception, and this was instructed by the Imam or the leader or the Khalifa of the Islamic State, and this was a case which you may call it as exception for preparation of the army. And as a result of not being sufficient, now he was being instructed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to borrow a camel or to buy a camel to be replaced by two camels later on. Hadith number 709. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن المزابنة أن يبيع ثمر حائطه إن كان نخلا بتمر كيلا وإن كان قرما أن يبيعه بزبيب كيلا وإن كان زرعا أن يبيعه بكيل طعام. نهى عن ذلك كله. متفق عليه. Here this hadith which narrated by Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade al-muzabana, and he went more in details to show some of this kind of transaction which is forbidden in Islam, and they call it al-muzabana. And one of these forms that to sell the fruit of his garden, which is consist of fresh palm dates, to exchange it with dry dates by measured, because now the dates, number one of the items which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade to be exchanged or transact with a more, dates by dates, hand by hand, in the same spot. You could not give one measure of date for two measure of dates from another kind. So now when you exchange, make transaction or to swap this by this, now the dates that is still in the palm tree and is still fresh is big in the size, okay, while the dry dates, because now is dry, there is no more water in it, is more smaller in the size. So if you measure the dry dates, the measurement will hold more from dry dates than taken from the fresh dates, and this will be wrong, although that given one measurement is one measurement, but the dates that is fresh will take more size inside the container that you measure with it, therefore is not going to be equal. Okay, and also one of the forms of muzabana, that to sell the grapes which is fresh with raisin, because the raisin is dry, okay, and when it's dry it shrinks, it gets smaller, so when you put it in the measurement, or when what you call measurement, the measure that you measure with, the measure will take a lot, and this will be different when you measure the fresh grapes. And also وَإِنْ كَانَ زَرْعًا أَنْ يَبِيعُ بِكَيْلِ طَعَامٍ, okay, or if it is corn, he sell it for a measure of corn, okay, one is dry and one is fresh, or that one is ground, okay, like a flour, and one is not ground. So when there is a way to make the measurement is not to be even and equal from the same kind of food, you could not do this, because this will be exchange measurement with more, and this will be increased, which we call it riba, because we said that riba means to increase. Okay, so this is forbidden in Islam, and the hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhim. The next hadith, which hadith number 710 in page number 295, وعن سعد ابن أبي وقاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وسئل عن اشتراء الرطب بالتمر فقال أينقص الرطب إذا يبس؟ قالوا نعم فنهى عن ذلك. رواه الخمسة وصححه. This hadith which narrated by Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam been asked about buying dry dates for fresh ones. He replied, will fresh dates get diminished when they become dry? They answered yes, so he forbade that. This hadith is authentic. So now you could not exchange or transact dates which is fresh with a dry dates, because this will be a form of usury. And this hadith, as I said, is authentic and in the collection of Al-Imam Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and Nisa'i and Ibn Majah and Ibn Hibban and Hakim. So from this hadith we understand that it's forbidden to transact or to buy fresh dates with dry dates. Next hadith, which hadith number 711, and this hadith in page number 296. The hadith is ضعيف, is weak. Hadith number 711, which by Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. The hadith is weak, so we're going to leave it alone. The next chapter number 4, باب الرخصة في بيع العرايا وبيع الأصول والثمار. Permission concerning the selling of al-araya, which we're going to explain what is araya, and the sale of trees and fruits. Al-usul, which is the plural for the word asl, which means foundation or mean roots or original. And in this chapter relate to selling the trees, okay, because the trees is the root and the foundation and the asl of whatever comes as a fruits, dates, whatever it is comes out of it. وعن زيد عن زيد بن ثابت رضي الله تعالى عنه ان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رخص في العرايا ان تباع بخرصها كيلا. متفق عليه. Again, the hadith reported by Zayd ibn Thabit, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had gave permission regarding selling of al-araya for its sale on the basis of calculation of what dates would be when dry by measure. The hadith in the collection of al-Bukhari as well. Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh. It say araya, that mean to be free or be a naked, and it call it by this because it's free or away naked from being indulged in the forbidden transaction. So you say like free from the clothes or free from haram, okay? And this is a general meaning in Arabic, but the meaning here in Islamic terminology, al-araya is the trees or the fruits on the trees which been given by the owner for the poor and the needy. So people who own a garden or palm trees, whatever the type of trees they have, they will give it for, they give the fruits, not the roots itself, not the trees itself, but give the harvest that will come out of these palm trees to the needy for a year or more. And as I said, we call it araya because it is free from a forbidden transaction. Now, when the owner who own this garden or these palm trees and he give it as a free, like all, like a donation to the poor people, so the poor people, because they don't have money, they don't have food, they don't have what to eat, they will be coming in and out on this property or in this land to eat from these trees, which will cause some kind of disturbance to the owners. Okay? They could not take the whole thing because they don't have something where to keep it or reserve it, and it may be spoiled in their possession. So they come to the tree to take what they need and go and come again and go. And this can be some kind of disturbance to the landlord who had given them these fruits as donation. So now you could not actually measure what's on the tree. You have to wait until it be harvested, collected, and now you measure it, and now you can sell it. But as exception in this case, which you call al-araya, in this exception, in this as an exception in case of the araya, when somebody had donated the fruit of his trees, so now Islam gave the permission of guessing how much on the tree, and he can sell it and exchange it with somebody else. Okay, so you could not sell fresh dates with raisin, you could not sell what's in the tree extended with other dates because you don't know how much on the tree. But exception in this case, because the poor people, they don't own the trees, the owner of the trees donated the fruits that own the trees, the poor people going to be in and out. Okay, whenever they feel the hunger, they have to be in to get some fruits and get out again, and all this in and out is disturbing. So in this case of donating the fruits from an owner of trees to a poor people, now the poor person can sell it to somebody by guessing, or the person who's going to buy it can guess how much on the top of the tree. Okay, so this is only exception in this case. In another narration of Imam Muslim, رخص في العرية يأخذها أهل البيت بخرصها تمرة يأكلونها رطبا. He gave, that means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, permission regarding the al-araya for its sale, in which the household buys its fruit on the basis of calculation. That means calculation means it guessing or assumption of what the dates would be when dry, yet they could eat them when fresh. Okay, so in this case the person will look to the palm tree and he guess and say, I assume what it on the palm tree is about 10 pounds as example of dates. Okay, now he will exchange it with what? With a 10 pounds of dates that can be handled to him right away immediately, and this will be acceptable in this case. And this also narration or this version in the collection of Imam Muslim, which is authentic. Now the next hadith, which hadith 713, will make exception also over this exception. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رخص في بيع العرايا بخرصها من التمر فيما دون خمسة أوسق أو في خمسة أوسق. Okay, this hadith, which hadith number 713, page number 297, that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave permission regarding the sale of al-araya for a computation of their amount when dry, on condition that they be less than 5 أوسق. Or amount to 5 أوسق. And the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, which is authentic. And here give you that the أوسق, which is a plural, and it shows you this is a little more than 8 quintals. In case of need, taking less than these quantities by estimation is permitted. This grace is bestowed for the general need. Okay, the araya here, or the awsuk, is something like you say a measure, which is a measure things with it, and the measure is about 60 sa', 60 sa', and the sa' is about 4 mud, that you put your two hands together and fill them, so 4 times will be saw. So 60 saw time 4, this is 240. So 240 of filling your two hands together. This is the maximum that you can utilize this case. So to 5 awsuk, 240 hands full of dates. This is the maximum, or less than this it can be utilized. Other than this, if the guessing that the dates on top of the tree is more than this, you could not be guessing it and you could not sell it in this case. So in this chapter we understand there is something called araya, which a donation been given by the owner to the poor people, and the poor person can sell this date which is still on the tree to the owner or to somebody else, exchange it with another date, and this will be as a matter of guessing. This is exception. Now the other hadith came to make another exception, that this has to be less than 5 awsuk, or maximum to be 5 awsuk. The next hadith, which hadith number 714, the same page 297, عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن بيع الثمار حتى يبدو صلاحها نهى البائع والمبتاع. متفق عليه. Okay. Also that buying and selling is lawful, and that fruits, vegetables, these things is lawful to buy and to sell, but still some other conditions. Okay. And one of these conditions that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade the sale of fruits till they are ripe or ready, or clearly that is in good condition. And he had forbidding this for the buyer as well as the seller. Okay. So a person could not sell the fruits, the wheat, the dates, the grapes, until it shows that it had passed a stage that is not going to be spoiled. Okay, that is ready and about to get ripe soon, or to be in a good condition to be utilized. And this is again, as I said, even if the buyer and the seller agree, still wrong. Although that the product that been transact is correct, which is fruit or vegetables, but still because it's not reached the stage that can determine that this fruits will be good or bad, so now in this condition you could not buy it, neither you can sell it. And the hadith is authentic, is in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim. And in another narration, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam been asked about what determined that is good, he replied, till they were safe from defects or plight, like insect, what you call harbor grass and other locusts and other things which can come and can destroy the fruits or the products. More explanation to the hadith comes in hadith number 715, which reported by Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala an, anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an bay'i thimari hatta tazhu, qila wa ma zahuha, qala tahmaru wa وتصفار, متفق عليه. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid the sale of fruits till they become colorful. He was asked what that meant. He replied, till they become reddish and yellowish. Okay, but this actually it depend what kind of fruit we're talking about, because some fruits is not going to be red, as examples like grapes. Okay, the green grapes or the white grapes, it doesn't go to be red. There is a red grapes, okay, and there is dates, as example, which is yellow. Okay, so basically that there is some kind of determination that this is fruit, and like in a week or two now you're going to have to take it off the tree, or it's going to get override and it's going to be spoiled after this. So you have to see determination that this is fruit is good. Now the time that you can sell it, and this can be one of this indication, is the color, okay, or the season, as example, which usually can get afflicted by insect or other things. And all these things also, like we're saying, that we see the concern of keeping the brotherhood and the sisterhood together, because these things which comes, or one of the main reasons that became to bring about boycotting Muslims each other and being argue and disputing one another, because dollar and money is so dear to the people, and when somebody paying his money for something that he felt that he been jibbed, or that he been deceived, or that he didn't got what he supposed to get, it will bring about harshness and argument and debates among the Muslims. Hadith number 716, وعنه رضي الله تعالى عنه, that means from Anas ibn Malik again, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن بيع العنب حتى يسود وعن بيع الحب حتى يشتد, رواه الخمسة إلا النسائي وصححه ابن حبان والحاكم. So this hadith which reported by Anas ibn Malik, and the hadith the collection of Imam ibn Hibban and al-Hakim, al-Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, and the hadith is authentic, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid the sale of grapes till they become black. And as I said again, it depends what kind of grapes now. Okay, there is some grapes will turn red and turn black, some grapes they turn white and turn green. Okay, so it depends what it is to determine that this fruit is good and is good to be sale. And also he forbade the sale of the grain till it becomes hard. Okay, that mean became ripe on the spike. So basically this will apply again to fruits, vegetables, whatever it is that you're selling from, this things that not to be any kind of confusion or misunderstanding or disagreement concerning what you selling to your to the seller or to the buyer. Page number 298 and hadith number 717, وعن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لو بعت من أخيك ثمرا فأصابته جائحة فلا يحل لك ان تأخذ منه شيئا بما تأخذ مال اخيك بغير حق. رواه مسلم. Again, this explained to us that the prohibition of taking the property of the Muslim without a just cause, and the property of the Muslims is sacred, and as a result of this, that if a person sells a product which is a tree early, and after this been afflicted by insect, by freezing the weather, or by any kind of calamity or destruction, or been dried, no rain, anything will destroy the fruits or the vegetables. Okay, so if something happened and while still is not been given to the buyer, it is the responsibility of the seller. Okay, and he's not supposed to take the money, and if he did, he have to return it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith he forbidden this and saying, if you sell some fruit to your brother and it was smitten by plight, it would not be lawful for you to take anything from him. Why should you take your brother's property unjustly? Okay, and the hadith is the collection of Imam Muslim, and the hadith is authentic. So again, also the Islam teaching us how that we be reasonable with each other, how we be considerate to the people, and that as long as the crops is still in your field and is still in your property, that you as a seller, this is your you are in charge of it, and until you give it to the person in his hand, now this is your responsibility. You could not take his money, and if any destruction happened to the product, to the fruit or the vegetables or whatever on the tree, that you need to return the money back to the buyer if he had give you the money. Hadith number 718 عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من ابتاع نخلا بعد أن تؤبر